It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's talk Mets. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I know, if it bleeds, it leads. Don't bury the lead. We'll get there. I'm trying not to be upset at this point. I'm trying not to get mad at this point. For what? You guys know what I'm going to say. Play stupid games. Win stupid prizes. You guessed it. Is it raining? Don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining. Smartest guys in the room, an unserious group. Yeah, let's just focus on the positive. I mean, a couple hours ago, it was all good for both sides, but we'll start with the Make It Happen Mets. 888-808-1019. And I just know, this is a quick show. This is not even a 2-hour show. I was out for a little bit, you know, everybody's getting sick. I got COVID. I got Paxlovid. I got over it. And now I'm back. But I didn't think I was coming back to this. You know, a couple hours ago, I was on the Elon Musk machine talking about, let's restore the feeling tonight. A 4-1 lead. But whatever. Yeah, I was listening to the Mets game earlier. Francisco Lindor, put respect on that man's name. It's okay if you disrespected Lindor. A lot of us did. Most of us did. Mets fans, Yankee fans, baseball fans, Indians fans, Guardians fans. I mean, he wasn't looking like this in April or May. But this looks like an MVP. If you ask David Stearns, David Stearns spoke today. I got no problems with the new president of baseball operations over there. I'm low-key kind of jealous. A young guy in charge who's made a bunch of good, solid moves, like putting Carlos Mendoza as the manager, which when that happened, we laughed at that. Oh, how could they get rid of Buck Showalter? The New York Yankees bench coach? Yeah, I mean, that guy's in the running for manager of the year. Steady Mendy. Made a lot of right decisions this year and has been even keeled. You know, if you thought Lindor was overpaid, he's earning every penny of it now. He's on baseball god mode. He cannot stop hitting. 32-game on-base streak, 14-game hit streak, homers, slap singles, and you know he's slapping the air, spanking ass, whatever they do when they celebrate. Everything's turning up Mets. I mean, Mark Vientos, I love his story this year. He'd be a 30-home-run guy along with Pete Alonso, who homered again. If Mark Vientos got to play from opening day on, he might be on his way to a 30-home-run season. The pitching. Happy birthday to you, David Peterson, the unsung hero. I've been saying for weeks, I don't think we talk about this young man enough. He was not like this in years past. Now, he doesn't want to be the weakest link. He's one of the stronger links. You can depend on him. He's solid. And tonight, on his 29th birthday, he went out there. He's like, I'm striking all these guys out. 11 Ks. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. And props to the Mets fans showing up to Citi Field. I mean, better late than never. It's now or never. Like, at least you're pulling up for this last month of the season. And the way that the Mets are playing, the way that they're pitching, it gives you at least a solid feel that, hey, the postseason could be on the table. Like, October could be real. And it's just funny, right? Because in this city, our expectations for our teams vary. You know, like the same fans that expect the Yankees to win the World Series every year don't care if the Knicks are bounced in the second round back-to-back years. They're on their hands and knees bowing down to Jalen Brunson. Knicks in eight. You know, and in baseball here, we're split. And it's funny. It's like first world probs and first place probs as the Yankees fall out of first place, and third wild card probs and, you know, third world probs. You ever see the, like, meme account first world probs or hear jokes? Like, I try and think of one, for example, like, first world probs. Like, the Yankees are a team where it's like, ah, well, I got this Tesla truck and I don't have anywhere I can park it, or I don't have anywhere I could charge it. There's, you know, too many people with electric cars. There's not enough chargers. Oh, I guess I got to drive my BMW. That's a first world problem. Like, oh, boo-hoo. You got to go back to driving your BMW. You got to gas up. And then, you know, the third world problems are, you know, I got to walk to work. I can't afford a car. I can't even afford somebody to come pick me up in their car and take me from point A to point B. I got to take the train everywhere. And sometimes I got to hop the turnstile. I can barely afford the train. And I know it's not safe at night, but I got to get to where I got to go. And those are, you know, actual problems. And with the Yankees, as we transition into that, because it's just obvious where this is going to go. Like I said, if it bleeds, it leads. It's just so stupid. As I look at SNY in front of me, Clay Holmes blows his 11th save. Like, this is what I'm talking about, first place problems. If Clay Holmes doesn't blow half of those saves, a third of those saves, you're in first place. As we stand here now, September 4th. Good morning, good morning. Wake me up when September ends. We're just going through the motions. But yeah, back to my analogy with the first world probs, first place probs, third world probs, third wild card team probs. Like, which ones would you rather have? A first place team that can't get out of its own way. A first place team that creates its own problems. Nobody told you that when you trade Hoy Park, that Clay Holmes has to be your closer from now until he's not on the team. Nobody said that that guy has to close games for you. You did that. And you will bang your head against the wall time after time after time again and wake up the next day and say, yeah, he's still the closer. Oh, yeah, he's still good. That's a spoiled person problem to have, because you did have a trade deadline. You could have fixed the problem. You decided, nah, we're good, we're good. We'll get Eniel De Los Santos. He's not on the team anymore. Mark Leiter Jr. What? Should have went to Mark Leiter Jr. tonight. 888-808-1019. Like, it's an actual joke. A first place team in the New York Yankees, they can't hold on to first place. But they had ample opportunity to here. But they can't win the second game of a series. This is about to be the 10th rubber match, I think, in a row. It's like, I didn't even want to go that far back. Before I was coming on today, I was like, oh, the Yankees have lost the second game in 4 of their last 5 series. They've lost 3 out of those 5 series. If they win the second game tonight, come on. You had a 4-1 lead. You can't tell me that a first-place team that's serious about winning, that thinks they're a contender, thinks that they should be the number one seed in the American League, win the AL East, you cannot tell me that that team doesn't have a manager that's going to manage you through the rest of the game. 6 more outs. You can't tell me that you can't get 9 outs, whatever. You can't get through just the end of this game. Because, you know, stupid is as stupid does. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Like, why is DJ LeMahieu out there? I've seen you take Ben Rice out of the game in favor of DJ LeMahieu in the last month or so. This team loves to play guys out of position more than anyone. They're pretenders, not contenders. I've never seen a contender pretend like this. DJ LeMahieu is cooked. Why you keep doing that? Over and over and over again. And they've got an excuse for everything. Oh, DJ lost the ball in the lights. Oh, yeah. Globe Life Park out there in Arlington. Brand new stadium. They got those super powerful LEDs. What's the excuse for Clay Holmes? You know, DJ, all right, doesn't make the play at first, and you just knew. Here it comes. Yeah, they're going to lose this one. They're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to smoke a start where Carlos Rodon goes out there. And minus the solo shot, you know, you got the Jekyll and Hyde with him, too. You got the good version. I think Jekyll is the good version. You get the good version of Carlos Rodon tonight. At times, I'm like looking at Carlos Rodon, and there are times in this year where I've looked at Carlos Rodon, and I'm like, whatever you're doing, keep doing that. 11 strikeouts, he has many Ks as David Peterson tonight. One hit, one earned run, two walks, six innings, and you waste that start from that guy. He's trying to get his 15th win. As much as everybody's down on Verdugo, he strikes out his first at bat, he's able to come through later. As I talk about the trade deadline, at least you got Jazz. Jazz has been sensational. Even though he was hurt, he has been an impact, an immediate impact player. He has been a trade that you added, or a player that you've added via trade, where we say, yeah, good. Needed that speed, that athleticism. Volpe, all he needed to do was see his former Del Barton teammate in the show. Okay, yeah, hey, what's up, buddy? We're both here. We made it. Volpe coming through last night and tonight. Gleyber Torres coming through. He's like, you waste that? You waste that Trevino. You sit Wells down. Wells is sore from two nights ago. Trevino comes through. You waste these guys' efforts on the back of not just Clay Holmes. Stupid decisions. And then it's funny, right? Piss on my head, tell me it's raining. Okay, here we go. I thought that they were honestly going to tell you tonight that Rizzo was unavailable. Yeah, he's there, but you know, we got to, you've heard these things. We got to build him up. We don't want him playing back-to-back games right away. You know, like, just nonsense. It's September now. What are we talking about, bro? So when DJ didn't come out of the game in favor of Rizzo to be the defensive substitution, the defensive replacement, I'm like, the next inning, you see Gleyber come out in favor of Oswaldo Cabrera, and then you see Rizzo go to first, and of course Rizzo strikes out. Whatever, it's neither here nor there, bro. They just play stupid games, win stupid prizes, man. Soto and Judge can't carry you. Not all the time. Not every single time. And you know that's what's going to happen in October. So are we serious? Like, this is a serious team going into October? October is next month now. And these next couple weeks are going to decide where the chips land. And I said this a couple weeks ago, right? They gave me one game where I thought they were doing the right things and rounding into shape, rounding into form. They can give you one of those, maybe two of those a week. And then the rest is just trash, nonsense. It just shows you this team's not very good. And in a year where everyone in baseball is pretty average, like these Yankees, they're average and many times below average. Not because they don't have the talent, but because they don't put it all together. They don't manage them correctly. They stay stuck on stupid. They do things that just honestly grind your gears. And you're watching the game and you know it's inevitable. You know it's coming. So 888-808-1019. That's a tough loss because you had the second game of that series. That's a tough loss because you had the series win right there. That's a tough loss. You were up three runs and then you can't get simple outs in the eighth inning, and you want to do stupid things and expect to get by. Ball will find you. The Yankees make plans and the baseball gods laugh. It's not good enough. It's not acceptable. But hey, fans, come out and get your Derek Jeter final hit bobblehead. Bum, 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 bum. Please. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's unacceptable. You shouldn't accept it. I shouldn't accept it. It's not cool because it can be avoided. And I'm not baseball savant. I'm not a baseball nerd. I don't pretend to be Keithy Baseball. But there's just obvious things that go on that you can see are not right. And I know I was off this weekend. I was mad as hell. I got sick. I missed my show Saturday. I was going to come here and do the whole Jason Dominguez conversation. I'm over it now. For what? Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, keep him down there until he's 47. Whatever. Does not matter. You guys love Verdugo. Keep running Verdugo out there. It does not matter. As soon as we say Judge is the greatest player we've ever seen, you know Judge is going to cool off. He's human. He's allowed. he's allowed to come back down to earth a bit. Juan Soto, just as soon as you start talking about Juan Soto making $600 million, you know he's going to cool down some, be on skates, talk about losing the ball in the lights. It's one thing for Juan Soto to lose the ball in the lights in right field, day game. It's another thing for DJ to lose the ball in the lights at first base. He can barely keep his feet. Are we serious? Are we dead ass? This is not a game. This is a 27-time world championship team looking for 28. It's been 15 years. Over the weekend, I'm sick as hell. I go dig up the clip of Derek Jeter saying New York fans are smart. They're loyal. They watch every pitch. Can't just get anything by them. Can't just do anything. But yeah, this era of the Yankees is, yeah, we will just do anything and you guys will shut up. And you'll show up. And you'll deal with it. And if we lose, we lost in a crapshoot. And if we don't win first place odds, fine, we'll take a wild card. And if we're not the number one seed, oh, you know what, well, we don't need to rest, guys. Maybe you do. Maybe Judge is a little tired out there in center field. You know, he doesn't seem like he's got the full gusto about him going after the ball or throwing the ball in or throwing the ball to the right. I don't know, man. I'm starting to look at everything now, and I'm just like, these guys were complete paper tigers. 50-22 to start the season. And since then, 500, maybe a little bit under 500. And don't have to be. Because they play up to their competition, oddly enough. They just play down to bums. They just go through the motions and show up thinking that, oh yeah, the pinstripes will get them. The road grays will lull them to sleep. We'll just waltz in and waltz out with the series win. No, everybody's showing up to kick your ass. Everybody's showing up to beat the Yankees. You're their World Series. As I'm laughing at the clip that comes out of the Chicago White Sox game against the Orioles, that game was over so fast. The ball hit to left field. It's Benintendi's ball the whole way. Vargas, the third baseman, is running there to make the play. He runs into Benintendi, knocks himself out. Benintendi's little body gives him a shoulder by accident. Black eye. They got to take him out of the game. Move another guy to third base. Take the pitcher out. Next thing you know, it's 7-0. I'm like, that's the Chicago White Sox in one game. Grady Sizemore getting his first ejection. So the Baltimore Orioles roll them and roll right into first place. And you know what? That team beat the Yankees 12-2 not that long ago. That team beat the New York Yankees 12-2 first game of the series. Unserious group. I love them, but man, I'm starting to hate this like current regime, how they do things. It could be avoided. And speaking of beating the Yankees, the Mets swept the Yankees this year. Told y'all it was a special year for the Mets. Not just Grimace, not Glizzy Izzy, not the Rally Pimp, not Oh My Glob. Not Hawk to a Girl. That was funny. Like, that was a good little moment. But, I mean, talk about Hawk to a Girl. They blew that game. And then they come back. The resiliency of this Mets team. I saw their team photo today. These guys have fun. They like each other. They are so resilient. They are able to block out outside noise. That group, that room, it's not going to be the same next year. All those guys won't be here next year. The Mets have to make the postseason. You've heard every host say it on WFAN with everybody coming back today. It's done. They have to make it. There is no falling short. There is no half game out. I mean, it's setting up for that potential heartbreak. If this season ends and they are 0.5 out of it, that's going to leave you disgusted. But no, I think they're going to see it through, powered by Francisco Lindor, who in the beginning of this year, I've got sunshine. I can't sing worth the, you know. Got the voice for radio a little bit, but I've never been a singer. But, man, I love his walk-up song, and I love how in the beginning of the year, Mr. Smile had a smile on his face telling you, I'm Francisco Lindor, not Frankie. I'm good, baby. I put in the work. I'm one of the best players in the world. I know who I am. I'm the best shortstop in the National League. Shohei Ohtani goes back to Anaheim. Traitor. This guy goes back to his former team, crosstown rival. They stand up. Hooting and hollering for the guy. Hooray, he's back. I'm like, they couldn't be further away from New York City. What goes on? Hashtag not my MVP. Ohtani joined the Warriors like KD. Ohtani had his translator put bets on baseball and then threw him under the jail. I don't know. I don't know. No, no. I don't know anything. Nope. Not me. Not my bank account. Nope. Not my right-hand man. Not my best friend. Ipe, you go to jail. I've got bases to steal. And that's another thing. I don't care about the stolen bases. Like, they're so overhyped in this pitch clock era, in this bigger base era where they want you stealing bases, where a lot of times it's just like, whatever, bro. I guess. Acuna won it last year, stealing 73 bases. So now we're going to look at Ohtani watch. We got to have a little bug on the screen. Ohtani, 50-50 watch. Miss me with it, bro. Like, Ohtani is not pitching this year. If there ever was a year to put somebody in the conversation next to him instead of just inscribing his name on every MVP trophy, right? Even when he played for the bum-ass Angels who aren't sniffing the playoffs. Oh, this guy's Babe Ruth. Oh, unicorn. Oh, he's the best player we've ever seen. He pitches and he hits. He's not pitching this year. So why can't we have the conversation about Francisco Lindor, who plays defense every day, plays a plus shortstop, who, if that team did not have Lindor, they would not be in the conversation. If they didn't move him to lead off, if he didn't lead in that meeting, if he didn't lead behind closed doors and in front of everybody for everybody to see with his bat, with his glove, with his energy, man, put some respect on Francisco Lindor. I mean, people were calling for him to stop switch hitting. People were saying that contract was already a wasted contract, a bust, and he'll never earn that contract. Nah, he's earning it for sure. And they just got to see it through. I listened to David Stearns talk today, and I just am like, yo, what I said last winter about this is the beginning of the Mets shaking the LOL Mets, there were still many LOL Mets moments. I mean, they started off 0-5, with Rhys Hoskins coming here and owning them, Michael Tonkin blowing games. They were 11 games under 500, Jorge Lopez throwing his glove. They come back from it. These guys have 9 lives. They must see it through. Pete Alonso, keep going. They said you're not going to get to 40. Let this be the month where you go crazy. J.D. Martinez not here right now, all good. Jesse Winker has been a much welcome addition, a guy that was a villain that has now come through. And, I mean, he spanks the air harder than anybody. He wants to be a Met so bad. 888-808-1019. I'd rather talk about the Mets, to be honest with you. As I did the analogy with first world problems and third world problems, I'd rather have the problems that the Mets have than the problems that the Yankees have. And there's some Yankee fans, Keith, you're crazy, don't say that. Well, listen. This is entertainment. This is supposed to be fun. At least the Mets have fun, because with that high-ass payroll, they're just trying to get into the dance. No pressure for a lot of the fans if they don't, because it's going to be a fun season. It was a fun ride. Grimace was on the Shea Bridge drinking Modelos. But for the Yankee fan, I'm telling you, bro, we are headed towards an anxiety-ridden October where you already know these guys can't win back-to-back games against the Rangers, against the Cardinals, against the Nationals, against the Rockies and the Tigers this late in the season. So you mean to tell me they're miraculously going to get it together in 3 weeks and go on a run through October? You're not going to be sweating a wild card round where you have to win 2 out of 3? They're destined to go to a rubber match. They're destined to play 3 games. So, like, what kind of problems would you have? First world, first place problems, or third world, third wild card team problems? 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. There's my 30-minute open. This show is going to be over by 2 a.m. You don't get that much of me. I got to start doing some, like, YouTube live streams. I should go live on TikTok during the day. Something, man. 888-808-1019. I've said all that I can say about the Yanks and the Mets. I'll sprinkle in some other things from my notes. I just did all that off the top of my head. Because to hell with the notes. The theme completely changed. In the last hour, I'm sitting in my apartment. Not even. The last 30 minutes, I'm sitting in the dark in my apartment. Like, they're going to lose this game. You know. You know. They're going to blow this game. Play stupid games. Win stupid prizes. Pray Holmes. I ain't even pray for Clay Holmes. I'm done praying. Just do something else. Just do something, anything else. We have to take a break, okay? Call me up if you would like to talk on the Fan. Miss you guys. Can't wait to talk to you. Keith McPherson on the Fan. This is KM to 2 a.m. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan in New York. I'm sorry, Mets fans. I saw some Mets fans were trying to call, but dropped off the line. Like, this should have been a happy night. This should have been a great night. Should have been a great night. Because, you know, I was talking about the Mets, and I tried to tell some fans coming out of the San Diego Padres series, where obviously the Mets should have taken 3 out of 4, or even the Diamondback series, where they should have, could have swept. Like, these are positive signs. Like, you're battling the teams that are in front of you right now, this late in the season. You're showing them that you're better than them, that if you run into them in the postseason, you know. And I remember when I was filling in for BT and Sal, I think last Monday or Tuesday, I think it was Monday, coming off the weekend, what I was saying to the Mets fans was, there is no worst loss of the season until you have the worst loss of the season. The worst loss of the season is the one that mathematically knocks you out. Keep fighting. You're not done yet. Have fun. Enjoy the fact that you're right there. That a win streak, ding, 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 as the Mets fans would ask me on Twitter, maybe a couple have called in. I know my boy Drake Keith, what do we got to do? So you need a win streak. You can't keep win a game, lose a game like the Yankees. You got to put together a win streak, and you have the opportunity with the Chicago White Sox coming. A team that is going to break your all-time bad record for most losses from 1962, you just added 3 losses to that. That's your opportunity to start streaking. And don't let it stop there. Don't get greedy. Don't let it stop there. Continue. That's W6. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're 11 games over 500. Who would have thought you'd find the New York Mets here on September 4th? And for the Yankees, hey, listen, bruh. Y'all can keep playing stupid games, winning stupid prizes. It is officially Wednesday. The NFL kicks off tomorrow. We have made it. I'm watching college football over the weekend. I've done like 4 fantasy drafts. You know how quick people will start to not care. You know how quick people will start to tune it out. That's what I said. Wake me up when September ends, going through the motions. Once football starts, they got a Friday game in Brazil. So we're going to watch football on Thursday, Friday, college football Saturday, NFL all day Sunday, Jets Monday. And if the Yankees want to keep losing games and lose position, people are going to not care. 888-808-1019. Bruce is in Flushing. Bruce, you're on The Fan.
Keith, I have several points to make. Point number one, for all the media people, including some on this station, who criticize Yankee fans when they tell you Aaron Boone is not a good manager, tonight is Exhibit A. His attention to detail is horrible. If Rizzo was good enough to pinch hit in the ninth, why wasn't he good enough to play the field in the eighth?
Because they didn't turn the brightness up all the way in Globe Life Park. You know when your phone brightness isn't all the way down, then you turn it a little brighter when you need to lock in. They locked in. They turned the brightness up on the lights. God, DJ. So that's not his fault. It's not Boone's fault, you know?
That's point number one.
I'm kidding. I'm right there with you, Bruce. There's no way in hell that, like, you had to pretty much sit DJ down. We even got an Oswaldo at first base over the weekend. Like, when this guy is in the game, like, I'm not playing that game late where I'm not putting him in. If Rizzo is available, right, you know, don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining. You put him in the next inning. He could have been in there, but what'd you forget? You asleep?
What?
Did he forget to put Rizzo in? Like, I don't understand what that was in the game. Was it blind loyalty to DJ? Oh, he'll be fine. No, you're playing him out of position. He's a 35-year-old second baseman trying to play first base. He falls down at first base far too much. He's not good.
The only way DJ plays is if somebody breaks a leg and you have to fill in for an injured player. That's point number one. Point number two. For the Yankee fans who criticize Brian Cashman, and again, for the media people, including some on this station, I won't mention names, who say Yankee fans overreact to Brian Cashman and don't know what they're talking about because he's his great general manager. His job was to get a closer or a semi-closer because you knew it, I knew it, and Brian Cashman knew it.
I was begging for it. Tanner Scott or anybody, please.
Michael Kopech, look what he's doing for the Dodgers. Okay? And so if people say, well, you can't give up Spencer Jones for a closer, fine. You mean tell me you couldn't make the deal for Tanner Scott without giving up Spencer Jones?
You can give guys up because you couldn't give up Dominguez. Where is he at? He's chilling, huh? He's not ready. They need to see him get more at-bats. None of these prospects should be untouchable when you're actually trying to win. But are you trying to win? Or are you just going through the motions?
This goes on Brian Cashman by not getting a closer. That's number two. Number three, in a kind of a weird way, this is not as bad as it seems to be, because now even the Yankees, have to admit that Clay Holmes can't close games anymore, and you will see a change. Now the question is, who's going to replace him? Even by committee. Listen, Cousins has been pitching the best of coming out of the bullpen for the last 2 months. You either have to put Heel or Schmidt in the bullpen. Not necessarily as a closer or as a setup guy, but you need to fortify that bullpen. Because you go throughout the history of the Yankees, what made the Yankees win? Great bullpens. This bullpen is so unreliable.
Those days are long gone. Thanks for the call, Bruce. Enough. I don't want to hear any calls about Mariano. I don't want to hear any calls about what the Yankees were. Grow up, all of you. Grow up. It's so far from that. Like, I have to tell myself that. Not a kid anymore. Stop believing that Santa Claus is real. Get out of Never Never Land, Peter Pan. I don't care about the Yankees of old. Just look at what we constantly see, bro. Try not to curse on the radio. Like, these Yankees are nothing like the Yankees of old. Joe Girardi's not sitting there watching his closer with the game on the line throw dirt ball after dirt ball. Step out of the dugout. Go talk to him. Send somebody to talk to him. Instead of Trevino giving him the, like, calm down pat of the glove in the air, Trevino setting up outside. And him throwing the ball in the dirt. Like, what is going on, bro? What is going on? How do you sit there and watch that happen? Ryan is in Stony Point. Ryan, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how's it going, man?
I'm trying not to get pissed off because I knew they were going to blow the game. But it's the way that they do it that's so aggravating. It's like, it's super frustrating loving this team and watching them go out there and do that dumb S.
That makes two of us. Real quick, I'm actually up at school. I got to give a quick shout out to SUNY Cortland, Natty Champs. But I was looking, and over the last five games, the least amount of runs the Yankees scored was four. That was tonight. And I was looking at the box scores, and, you know, four, okay. You know, we have eight yesterday, we win, but then we lose 14-7 now. We put up seven runs. You should win scoring seven runs. You know what I mean?
Did you watch that game?
I don't even want to get into it.
Okay.
But I just feel like you said earlier, you know, Judge and Soto, yeah, they're going to, you know, cool off a little bit. Like, you know, that's great. But the rest of the team's got to do something. And I feel like the bullpen has just been, I mean, I don't know. Like, you got Rodon tonight who pitched incredible. He was great tonight.
They wasted his effort. 4-1 game. You should be able to see that through the 8th and 9th inning.
Exactly.
7th, 8th, and 9th. They put up two in the 7th inning.
You know, you got, all right, six outs, then we're out of here.
No, they put up two in the 8th inning. You got to get the, like, I'm trying to go back, bro. I'm telling you, I'm sitting in my apartment in the Twilight Zone. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I'm just like, I'm blacking out. I'm in an episode of Black Mirror. Like, they're about to blow this game. They can't win the second game of a series. They're about to put Prey Holmes on the mound. I'm not even about to say a prayer at this point. Stupid is stupid does. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. No one's shocked. No one's surprised. We're offended. At this point, Yankee fans are offended.
You're insulting all of our intelligence over and over and over again. You don't have to be Mr. Fangraphs. You don't have to be baseball savant. You don't have to have played a lick of baseball to watch what they're doing over and over again and be like, this ain't right. Let's go to West Hartford, Connecticut. Jeremy, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Glad you're doing better. I think you nailed it on the head with how insulting the season has been, because I think in this Aaron Judge era of Yankees baseball, every year going to October, the narrative was always, can they beat the Astros? Can they beat the powerhouse of the American League? Because there was always a team that was supposedly better. Well, this year, they're as talented as everyone, and there's no shoo-in in the American League to make the World Series, yet the fundamentals, bad mistakes in the field, bad base running, whatever it is, it constantly holds them back, and then the most aggravating thing to cause losses night in and night out, and it feels like this team is so much capable of so much more, and they're not achieving it.
Oh, it's going to burn this year. It's going to sting this year. Let's say they do find a way to, you know, rip off some wins and, you know, get first place and have the best record. But then they still just, like, you know, show you the same DNA in October that they've shown you now from June on. Like, it's going to hurt when, I don't know, the Kansas City Royals go out there and they get Yuri Gurriel, they get Robbie Grossman, they get Tommy Pham, and they're struggling a little bit right now. They just lost seven in a row. That's why I'm saying it's going to hurt when they're the team that eventually comes out of the American League. They just get hot at the right time, and they get there. You're going to be like, really? The Royals get back to a second World Series before we do? Like, it's going to burn this year if it's the Astros again. If the Astros that you swept, that you beat in your place, right, if the Astros figure it out again, it's not a crapshoot for them. They always get to the ALCS. If they get back to a World Series and it's not you, it's going to really hurt this year because it's wide open. Everybody's average. And you have Aaron Judge, the greatest of all time. And you have the Centurion in Juan Soto and Gerrit Cole. He was really looking like Gerrit Cole two nights ago. And all of that for what? Like, you're going to blow it on Clay Holmes. You're going to blow it on Aaron Boone. You're going to blow it on Alex Verdugo. Like, that's stupid to me. Thanks for the call, Jeremy. That's dumb. That's about dumb as hell. I can't. Like, the more I think about it, like, it's just wrong. It does not have to be this way. Duke Ellis. Yeah, let's talk about the Mets. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How was your Labor Day?
It was mostly sick. I got my wife sick. I got my son sick. I don't know, man. I did my show Thursday where I was in here and I started to fall ill and I had the hiccups and I just was like champing that out because I didn't want to miss shows. I woke up the next day. My doctor was listening to the show. He told me to go get a COVID test. I tested positive. And like I said, I got COVID. I got Paxlovid. I got over it. But it took the whole weekend. And everybody in my house was sick and watching the Yankees lose to the damn Cardinals and whatnot. So, yeah.
You're much different vibes than I saw for you guys. And I look, scores 4-1. I see Rodon's got five. He has pitched five innings, one hit. And then, you know, just like, flip. I look back and they just blew it. I'm like, oh boy, this vibes too much different. But on the Mets, Keith, I gave up last week. It was four games, and now, Keith, I don't remember the last time the Mets got 3.5 games on the Braves in like a week, in like a little more than a weekend past August. It was like if we gained like one game on them in the last few years, it was always good. And we say, you know, it's not like a one man team, but Francisco Lindor's putting the Mets on his back. No, the other guys aren't hitting too well. We broke them open in the eighth inning, but we had one hit. Yeah, we were still winning. And got to credit, you know, Stearns for putting together these guys. Peterson, Minaya are pitching like aces.
Yep.
McGill still gets me a little nervous. And Quintana,
Severino.
Hopefully, right. It's San Severino. The bullpen is not looking bad anymore. We did have a little trouble around the
Phil Maton.
Right, they went out. Jesse Winker, I was booing him earlier this year in Miami when they played the Nationals. I was there, and now
Carlos Mendoza. Who would have known Carlos Mendoza was the right guy for this job? They knew, not Craig Counsell. They knew, not Buck Showalter. They knew. I tip my cap to him. I really like have watched this Mets team, and I told you they have more of the 2022 team in them than the 2023 team in them. And yeah, like you said with Lindor, high tide raises all ships. So, yeah, it's not just a one-man team, but he's the leader. He's the face. He's the highest-paid player. He's the MVP. He's the guy that's been to a World Series. He's a guy that, like, He can pull everybody up with his swagger, with his mojo, with his energy, his aura. And everybody follows suit, even if they're not like, man, even the fact that they hold guys accountable, right? Or they don't let guys bring all the ships down. Not my favorite Met is Francisco Alvarez. Not for nothing. Sitting him down and letting Luis Torrens get some playing time. You got to tip your cap to a manager and a group of guys. Like they play the guys that are supposed to play. Or they don't stay married to a guy for any one reason. Give somebody else a shot. Like, they play the guys that earn it. They play the guys that go out there and get it done. It's about producing, nothing else. Across town, I mean, you don't have to produce to be in that lineup over and over again.
Right, I know. I feel like every time, you know, the Yankees scroll DJ LeMahieu, it's like when you're in, like, a real fantasy draft and a guy takes, like, a defense in, like, the first 100 picks or, like, a kicker. It takes, like, Harrison Bucker or the Browns even with the 100 picks.
What are you doing?
Roll your eyes. Yeah, what are you doing? Like, did you look? There's not so much difference by those. And DJ LeMahieu, like, I don't know, like, I like him. It's unfortunate. He was a great hitter, and I think they just got to accept that fact. Like, as you said, with the Mets and Luis Torrens, let him rip, and they'll let Alvarez forget. Edwin Diaz, right, when he came back, Mets didn't rush him back into the closer. They put him in the eighth inning, get his confidence back. You know, let's let the White Sox series roll him over. And in case question on the Giants, what's your thoughts on Brian Dable taking over the offensive play calling?
Better. I think, if he's coaching for his job, and thank you for the call, Josh, if Brian Dable is coaching for his job, you guys saw in Hard Knocks, I mean, you should have already known this, that, like, he is an offensive mastermind. He is an offensive guru. He can spit those plays out. He can talk it. He might not be able to physically go out there and run and throw the football, but he knows it through his years and years and years of working with quarterbacks and working in offenses. So, I mean, now with Daniel Jones in a make-or-break year, himself in potentially a make-or-break year, but having a whole new offensive line that is definitely going to be better, and having the horses in the stable in that wide receiving core, like the group of wide receivers they have, they haven't had this good of wide receivers with the Giants for years. So if he's calling the plays on the field as well, I think that's better than Mike Kafka, who's a little more mild-mannered, quiet. I think some of what we saw with Dable last year, where I said I think he was coaching scared. He was letting the fans kind of like cheer him into like fourth and one decisions or third and one decisions. No, he has the sticks. He's playing Madden. He's in control. So I think that's going to be better for the Giants. But I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a good year for the Giants. I think it's going to be the same amount of wins as last year, maybe one more. We'll talk a little football before we get out of here. I've got 1 hour until I get out of here. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's break it down. When we come back, we'll continue to take your calls on the Mets, on the Yankees, and sprinkle in some Jets and some Giants. BRB.